Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's a big Wednesday. Time for more of your listener questions, so stand by for that. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. You know, the last few weeks I've been saying that I don't have a countdown going, but hey, I do have one going now. It might happen. It might not. It's a top secret trip, but I have 75 days to go until a possible Walt Disney World vacation. We'll see what happens with that. And that's a great thing about Days to Go. Who knows? You know, they don't check to make sure it's on the books, so you can count down to that next trip. It may happen. It may not, but it's exciting either way. You can grab other great apps to make your Apple device a Disney device today, just like Days to Go, WDW, and Theme Park News Disney Edition. Check them out today over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. You know the trick. It really does help support the show. You get all of your Prime benefits. Nothing changes other than you're supporting one of your favorite Disney podcasts, and we appreciate that so much. So the next time you have to go shopping, especially for Valentine's Day coming up here in just a couple weeks, please do click through the link at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1283 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Of course, it is time to answer more of your listener questions. We love these shows because who knows what we'll talk about over the next 30 to 35 minutes, but we know it's Disney and we know it's going to be a great time. So before we start today's listener question show, we're putting out a little APB, all points bulletin, folks, up in the Northeast. Look out for Ricky. Where is she? She was in New York. She was seeing everything. She was on Ellis Island. She was in tall buildings. She was at Broadway shows, and she's not here today. Actually, it's not that exciting. You don't call it off. Call off the dogs. She's fine. She just got called to a staff meeting, so she'll be here on Friday. No worries. She has returned. You know, you put a Midwesterner in New York and bad things can probably happen, but I think she is okay. We'll get the 2-minute report on Friday. And of course, we'll be talking some fun Disney topics. But today it's going to be Pam and I talking about your listener questions, answering some of these. So joining me from the wonderful state of Pennsylvania, where I'm sure it's a balmy 75 and sunny, Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's up, Pam?
Oh, you're such a dreamer. I love that about you, Mike Rallman.
Well, you got to.
It's we're in the dreary time here in Western Pennsylvania. So I'll leave it at that. I know lots of people share the dreariness with us, but it's kind of a depressing time if you don't live in the sun, one of the sunshine states. So
true that. It's rough. And it's been like, you know, down in the 20s, then in the almost 60 here. It's been crazy this last week. A little snow, a little rain. Now, what about you for the Super Bowl? I know, you know, Pittsburgh is generally, you know, known as one of the strongest, you know, NFL cities. I know you've had your ups and downs with your team lately, but do you guys have any traditions for Super Bowl Sunday?
We don't actually. We switched our loyalties to hockey a few years ago, but we'll probably have it on. You know, look, in Western Pennsylvania, and I think this is around the country, that buffalo chicken dip. Have you had it? Hello.
Yes, I love that. Oh, now I'm starving. God, now I got to wait like 4 or 5 days till I can have it. Nice, thanks.
We always we like that. I mean, I think that goes on anything, right? I mean, it could go on like chips or celery or whatever. So we love buffalo chicken dip. So I usually make that. And then, you know, the other stuff varies from year to year. But buffalo chicken dip, that is a staple.
Yeah. It's, you know, Dave and Eileen, they just call that chicken dip because they're from Buffalo, you know, so it's nothing special. It's just chicken dip. Anyway, that's a bad dad joke, and let's get going with the listener questions before it gets any worse. Luke's got the first one. He's on deck. He says, my family and I will be visiting for 2 weeks, covering the last week of November and the first week of December, and we'll be staying in a royal guest room at Port Orleans Riverside Resort. Our group consists of my wife and I, our soon-to-be 4-year-old daughter, and our yet-to-be-born second daughter, who will be about 9 months old at the time of our Walt Disney World vacation. We were wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the child swap system, if it is available on all rides with height requirements, or just a little bit about how it works, as we have never used it before. We're also planning on attending the Very Merry Christmas Party, but do you have any other recommendations of things we can do with our children when we are there? Thanks for your time, Luke. All right, so Luke, you've made some great choices already. First of all, 2-week vacation, and especially during that time, you're going to get to see the Christmas decor. There's a lot of extra stuff going on that time of year, so the extra time will really put you in a good spot. You're going to have time to build in to go visit the resorts. Don't miss going over to Fort Wilderness. You know, take the little one in the stroller, or take both of them, you know, the 4-year-old and the 9-month-old. Get a, you know, rent a stroller, bring your stroller, and just walk around, bundle up, and enjoy the season over at Fort Wilderness. Do the monorail loop with those resort decorations. I think you're in a great spot there with a royal guest room, especially having, your daughter being 4. I love those rooms. First of all, I just think that Riverside's a great resort, and I think those rooms are the best rooms at Riverside. It's so Disney. It's not really over the top, but the fireworks in the headboards, the letter from Tiana at check-in, just the princess feel of the whole thing. And I'm a guy, but I mean, I've always loved them because I think that's why you go to Disney. It's a very unique, it's telling the story within your room. You know, when you step outside of your resort, there's a story. And then when you go to the theme parks, there's a story, but it extends to even like what the sinks look like and the stuff in the carpets in the room, and the headboards are awesome. So I think you're in a really good spot. So he has 2 questions about the, things to do other than the Christmas party and also the child swap system. So Pam, what can you say? Because I think he's set up for a really great vacation.
Oh, I agree. I think, Disney called certain rooms at certain hotels those Disney story rooms. And it's just such a cool concept. They take the attention to detail and just kick it up another notch. I mean, beyond what you expected. And like you said, Mike, especially in the royal rooms, the faucets, the carpet, the details all throughout the room are just fantastic. So you're going to enjoy it. And here's a little tip before you go: figure out who Prince Adam is. Just going to say that.
Now, who's that? What?
So,
okay, go ahead.
I know, right? Because we didn't know his portrait's hanging up in the room. Using rider swap is, Disney calls it rider switch. Is kind of a very, very cool concept. It is available just at select attractions. So that's something to read. They're the ones that typically have a height restriction on them. There's a big list of them, and you can find it on the Disney site if you're looking for it in particular. But at Magic Kingdom, you have Barnstormer, Seven Dwarfs, Big Thunder, Space Mountain, Splash, Stitch, which is going away, and Tomorrowland Indy Speedway. I think Stitch actually already went away.
It did.
In Epcot, you have Frozen and a Rafter, Mission Space, Soarin', and Test Track. Hollywood Studios, Rock and Roller Coaster, Star Tours, and Twilight Zone. In Animal Kingdom, Flight of Passage, Dinosaur, Everest, Kali, and Primeval World. So basically what you do is you roll up to the cast member, ask about rider switch. Once at the attraction, at least one member of your party and the guests who are not riding will be given the rider switch pass. And I believe that can do up to 3, but it would really just depend on, how many people are in your party. They're not going to give it for more than are there. Then the first party goes ahead and rides it. Then after riding, you go ahead and come back. Now, the first party has to either wait in the regular line or have a fast pass for that. So just kind of, remember that. After that first party rides, they come back. They'll stay with the people who aren't going to ride, and the guests who are tall enough and didn't have a chance to ride the first time will go ahead and ride. So it's a cool, cool thing. The one thing I will say, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, it's a very cool concept, but Universal does this better than Disney. And the reason why is Universal actually has little rooms, air-conditioned rooms, sometimes with TVs and stuff to do for you to wait. during the whole rider switch option. So I keep hoping that maybe sometime Disney will have some of those things. But usually with these attractions, there are some benches nearby or some shopping to explore while you're waiting for the different parties to ride.
You know, actually, Paige used to love the rider switch because it was a gold, you know, Mallory was basically a golden fast pass for Paige because she got to ride with me and then she would ride with Pam, you know, because, you know, the kid gets to ride twice.
That's right.
It's kind of a cool thing. And so any real quick before we go to the next question, any other tips? You know, they're there for 2 weeks. I mentioned, you know, doing some resort visiting because of the time that they have. Time's on their side. Maybe, you know, be flexible in the days because you're bound to get one or two really nice pool days. And I know the little one probably doesn't want to be out too much, the 9-month-old, but the 4-year-old's probably going to want to swim while they're there. So kind of be flexible on that. What else might you think?
Yeah, I absolutely think, you know, spend some time enjoying your resort. The beauty of staying at Port Orleans, either Riverside or French Quarter, is they're technically sister resorts. And they're some of the few resorts on Disney property where you can go ahead and use the amenities, read the pool at both resorts. And that's a really cool thing. First of all, Riverside has, in addition to Old Man Island, which is the cool themed pool, they also have a bunch of quiet pools. So you can take advantage of some of those too. But then you can go ahead and take the walk or the boat over to French Quarter and enjoy that pool with the great big serpent. And they have a beautiful new kids water play area. So make sure you set aside some time for that. Of course, Disney Springs has to be on everyone's list at this point. There are just so many awesome new things to see and do and eat there. So make sure you check out the list of Disney Springs restaurants before you go. And enjoy that. And of course, I think touring some of the resorts, planning where you're going to stay next time, right, is one of the best ways to spend some of your Disney vacation. Make your way over to the Magic Kingdom, take a walk over to the Contemporary, or jump on the resort monorail and make sure you hit all the resorts on those monorails. Then you can take the boat from the Contemporary over to the Wilderness Lodge and also check out Fort Wilderness, where they have some great activities, including the ride that we did when we were down there, the wagon ride. That would be a cool adventure. Make sure you stop by and see the horses. They're amazing and just huge horses. And just lots of great things to see over there. So I wouldn't have any problem filling 2 weeks, Mike. I'm just saying.
Send me right now. And one last thing, because we're going on to the next question. One thing you might want to think with the 4-year-old with the new baby coming, because maybe the 4-year-old is going to, you know, not feel left out, but, you know, the baby's going to get a lot of attention. Maybe you do like one thing special, like a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique day for the 4-year-old. Or maybe if you don't want to do the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, or if it's booked up, go over to the Ivy Trellis at the Grand Floridian. That's what we did with the girls while we were there. And it was very cool. It's very similar. It's not quite as like princessy, but it's I would recommend it for like the preteens. But if you can't fit it in, Ivy Trellis at Grand Floridian. Just something to think about. All right. Let's get to the next question. Lindsay's up. She says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm running the dark side half along with my brother and sister this April. We're traveling with a group of 8 people and staying off site. I know those of us running will need to get to the corrals early. Do you think it would be possible to Uber there? If so, what time would you say we should call an Uber to ensure we get to the start on time? Thanks so much for all you do. Lindsay's in Gainesville, chomp chomp, 902 miles from Pam, but more importantly, 110 miles from Walt Disney World. She says, go Lizards in all caps. Go Lindsay, go Lizard. That's awesome. Yes, I've heard that the Uber drivers tend to know when the Run Disney race weekends are, because that is a great economic boom for them. I would say you want to be in the corrals. Now, the last time I ran was 2 years ago, Dark Side. The race started at 5. It was earlier than any other race, I want to say, because it felt like we didn't get our check at Maya Grill the night before until about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, we'll just stay up. You know, heck, we gotta get up in a few minutes. It was a brutal night. It was a brutal run the next day, too. So what I would say is, yeah, Uber's going to be probably no problem at all, because those drivers are going to know of this. Just call your Uber, probably, because they can kind of, they're pretty good about sneaking in, getting you out pretty quickly. You know, they can get around stuff more than a bus can. But I would call the Uber maybe 45 minutes or so before you want to get to your corral, whatever time that is. Because some people like to get there super early, some people like to get there last minute. But I'd say about 45 minutes. Anything you could think of, Pam, for that?
Good luck.
Good luck.
Early. I don't know why they have to have people there so much earlier than the race even starts. It seems a little crazy to me. So,
and when you're doing the dopey, man, you just do that 4 days in a row. I'm still having stress from that, and it's a month later. So I'm just saying, I'm still shaking. All right, next, here's a good question, Pam. I think you'll this is a good one to address. I think a lot of folks may have this one. It's from Kevin. He says, good afternoon. Love the show. The title is Disney Springs Resorts versus Staying on Property. With the recent changes in benefits added for the Disney Springs Resorts, or the neighborhood, he put, I'm trying to figure out why I want to spend the money on a value or moderate in the world rather than the same money for one of the seven I get for one of the seven, or I guess he means the Disney Springs Resorts, and get a moderate deluxe for less money than with the same Disney benefits. What are you recommending? Thanks, Kevin. So I think he's talking about 1 month ago, Disney announced that they're kind of partnering. It's kind of like Disneyland. They're kind of partnering up with some select resorts in the Disney Springs area, but also offering not all, but some of the same benefits you get for staying at the traditional on-site Walt Disney World resort. So do you want to walk us through that, Pam, for those that haven't heard?
Yeah, so over at Disney Springs, Disney actually offers packages for the Disney Springs hotels. This is not to be confused with the Disney Good Neighbor hotels. There are also packages available through Disney for that as well. But these, the Good Neighbor hotels do not qualify for that. So the only seven hotels we're talking about are the Bee Resort and Spa, the Best Western Lake Buena Vista, the DoubleTree Suites in the Disney Springs area, the Hilton in the Disney Springs area, the Hilton Buena Vista Palace in the Disney Springs area, the Holiday Inn in the Disney Springs area, and the Wyndham Garden Lake Buena Vista in the Disney Springs area. So those are the only seven hotels. And if you go ahead and book a package, you can qualify for extra magic hour, as well as being able to make your FastPass Plus at 60 days in advance. These packages will load onto your My Disney Experience, just like other Walt Disney Travel Company packages do. And I want to tell you that as an agency, we are booking these packages for guests because there are sometimes when the dates are not available. Now, you don't have access to things like Disney's Magical Express. That's only reserved for guests staying on site at an official Walt Disney World Resort hotel, and that excludes even the Swan and Dolphin. You also don't have the ability to book Disney's dining plan. And Mike and I were just talking about this before recording the podcast. I'm thinking that 2018 will be a year that people point back to and say, do you remember when the dining plan was this price and it included alcohol? Because this is kind of a slam dunk if you drink alcohol or even if you consume any of those specialty beverages or your kids do too. I was just pricing out some things for some guests and, some of those character meals are hovering above the $50 mark. You throw in a $10 drink and you've almost paid for your dining plan for the entire day. So anyways, that in addition, you just don't have the Disney experience. And we have found in many cases that that rooms at a lot of these hotels using the packages are not that much less expensive than either a moderate or a value hotel. In fact, in some cases, they're more than that. So you have to really consider, what you're getting, the cost of it. Don't assume that just because it's off-site, it's a better deal. With some of these discounts in particular, when you add the discount on, the Disney resorts are at a fairly reasonable rate. And I know people are like, oh my gosh, Disney's reasonable. Well, I have to tell you that if you travel to locations other than Disney, you routinely pay a lot more for what is what I would consider a moderate hotel. And if you're looking at a deluxe hotel, those prices are in line with some of the Disney hotels. I'm not talking about all over, but I'm saying I don't feel that their prices are that outrageous when you consider it. I think what happens is a lot of people go to Disney, a lot of people who don't travel typically. And so when they see like a $200 price tag, they're like, oh my gosh, who would pay that for a hotel? But if you look around at your local hotels in your area, you might find that they're actually not that much out of line. So I think that that's just a little sticker shock for people. But my experiences and my professional experience, I guess this is my profession since I've been doing it for so long, is that there's nothing like staying at a Disney hotel. I can stay at a Best Western in cities across America. I can only stay at Coronado Springs at Disney. I can only stay at the Polynesian at Disney. I can only stay at the Contemporary at Disney. And that's going to be my choice almost all the time. I just really enjoy that experience. I love the theming of the resort. I get there, and even if I'm not doing anything other than being by the pool at my resort, I feel like I'm somewhere really fun and cool. And that's one other thing I would, you know, just say to everyone to look at too. If you have kids and you, well, even if you don't have kids, if you're planning on some pool time, just check out the pictures of those other, you know, the pools at Disney Springs and compare them to the pools that you're getting at the Disney resorts. I don't think you can compare. And there's just a lot of little things like that. So I hope I didn't go on and on and on, because I'm not saying it's not a good option at different times, especially when there aren't on-site resorts available. But for my money, I'm always going to stay at a Disney resort. And I feel like I'm getting a really good value there.
Yeah, the way I see it, well, real quick, two points on what you just mentioned. With the Disney dining plan and the alcohol being included, and you mentioned how we're going to maybe look back and say that that was a kind of a nice perk for that year or two that that was offered. I'm going to leave my guest anonymous that I talked to today, but how can this benefit a kid? My guest emailed me. We were talking about her trip, and she said, my kid came home with the most ginormous stitch. Because the dining plan included alcohol one night, and I was over at the Polynesian. Just going to say they were having a good time, and the kid ended up with, a, you know, those stitches that are probably bigger than most four-year-olds. So there you go. The kid's probably happy, too, with that choice. I'm not going to call my guest out, though, but I cracked up for 5 minutes after receiving. Look, that's why you're a travel agent, because you get emails like that. And you crack.
The Lapu Lapu is responsible for many
things.
That's what
it was. That's exactly what it was.
There's
I'm going to
no
say that.
Shame in that. There's no shame in that.
Yeah, they're called the, it's not the back scratcher drink. It's the stitch getter is what it that drink may turn into. But anyway, also, you know, one thing I look at, the, you know, these extra benefits for the Disney Springs hotels being added, the way I'm seeing it is, unless my guest is asking for these directly, which is what I would go for, is that it's kind of a nice fallback when the resorts, like during a race weekend and they're booking last minute and everything's booked up, I look there kind of as a second tier, you know, as something to look at before you start really going totally offsite. You know, it's kind of like a bridge for me. Is that kind of how you're seeing it? I mean, it gives me, you're not getting, you know, Magical Express. You're not getting the ability to build the dining plan into a package. You're not getting, you know, the Disney transportation that you would get, say, at a Barn of Animation or, you know, a Coronado Springs. But it is kind of a, it's kind of like a midpoint to me, you know, like in when the inventory gets really tight.
It is. And that's what we're seeing right now. I mean, one of the issues is that I really feel like Disney should have been building new resorts probably about 5 years ago.
Yes.
And maybe in the financial scope of things, you know, they didn't feel like they were in a position to do things. And in the past year or two, they've seen, oh my gosh, we're a little behind the eight ball here. At least that's, I mean, this is just an outsider looking in. I'm not sharing any insider information here or anything. I honestly wish we had two or three more Disney hotels to sell right now, because there are dates already in 2018 that are already selling out. So if you're planning on going, first of all, let's get the trip on the books, put down the $200 deposit. But it's, as a travel agent, it's really challenging. I don't want to tell somebody no, their dates aren't available.
Yes.
So I'm always going to go back to them and say, do you have alternate dates that we could work with? And if not, then this is where I'm going to check these Disney Springs hotels.
Yep, exactly. All right. Good question there. We appreciate that. Will's up next. Hi, Mike. I'm headed to Walt Disney World in about a month for a 5-night stay at the Polynesian. Speaking of the scene of the crime there from the last email, would like, be careful there. Be careful. You may come home with a giant stitch. Exactly. He says, would like to use multiple magic bands to match my outfits. Do you know if my one from last year will still work? And do you, Pam and Ricky, know if you can use multiple magic bands on a trip? I just listened to an old BOG podcast about coming back and having the post-Disney blues. I laughed because that happened to me last year. So this year I booked a trip to land about 6 weeks after we got back from World so that I can ease back into getting into life without planning. I love the podcast. Oh, this is from Sherry. Thanks, Sherry. And okay, so good news, Pam. Talk to him about using, or talk to Sherry about using multiple magic bands on a trip.
Well, Sherry, not only can you use multiple magic bands on one trip, but I have, with the magic band too, taken the puck out of some and put them in the band of another color.
Oh, my
Hello?
Gosh.
Hello?
That's like a math problem for sixth graders. That's exponentially more magic band combinations.
Right? I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back to algebra to see if there are seven magic band colors. How many potential different combinations can you come up with? But anyways, yes, so you absolutely can. What you want to do is go into your My Disney Experience account. And there's actually a section there that says magic band and tickets. Go ahead and click that. Check to see which magic bands are active. And let's say if you have more than about 7 or 8, inactivate some of those. You can just go ahead and click the button that says inactive and make it inactive. You can always make that band active again. And what you'll want to do is ensure that the bands that you are taking, flip them over, and on the back of the band, there's a little number. Make sure that that number matches one of the active bands in your profile, and you're good to go. Now, officially, Disney says that those batteries are going to last about 2 years. I don't know how they even anticipate that, right? But I mean, I think that what they're saying is we think these batteries will last 2 years. And I'm guessing if they think that will last for 2 years, they'll probably last for 3 years. Yeah, but who knows? Say, something could go a little earlier, later, but it should work.
That's how many doors have you opened? You know, how many charges did you make? Have you worn out the battery? That's the whole thing. Like, do you buy 17 things a day? I don't know. That's the whole thing. So,
does
law
it
of
go
averages.
In the shower? Does that reduce True. The battery yeah. life? What if you live in a cold climate? Yeah. I mean, you know, all these things I think could potentially impact the battery life. But hey, what do we know?
Do you go down Summit Plummet? You know, that might take something off. I don't know. So have a good time. Yeah, you can use your bands there. And if you want to have like 57 bands active and you want to, you know, ask the cast member checking, can you make sure this band works? I love seeing the look on their face. Yeah, I have a couple. I know I should deactivate them, but it's always fun. All right, next question is from Jason. Says, titles Pop Century versus a moderate resort follow-up on episode 1280. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, it's Jason again. Thank you so much for answering our question about saving money at Pop Century versus staying at a moderate resort on episode 1280. It was a very thoughtful and informative discussion. We booked for the first week of October, and seeing this is our first trip in 3 years, and we don't know how long it will be after that, we decided to go home to Port Orleans Riverside. So, okay, so they're going to Riverside, okay, instead of staying at Pop. So they decide, okay, so now everybody knows. This will be our first experience going during the Food and Wine Festival, and we were just wondering what to expect. We love Epcot and have gone twice during the Flower and Garden Festival, but have heard Food and Wine is a whole different animal. How crazy can we expect Epcot to be, especially World Showcase? Thank you, Jason. He's in Wilkes Barre. Or Scranton, Pennsylvania. Did I say that right, Pam? Wilkes-Barre?
Wilkes-Barre.
Well, they need a Y on the end of that thing. Come
I
on
I know,
now.
Right?
What are they doing to me? Trying to trick me there. Is that close to you? I got to ask. No?
Yeah. I mean, it's not really close. I have to think. I think we, like, take the turnpike to get there, so it's not super close to me.
No. I've heard that turnpike is something. Back when I used to listen to Open Road, the trucker channel on SiriusXM, I've since gotten rid of SiriusXM. Everybody complained about that turnpike, I think. Like it was rough or something.
Yeah, it's anyway. Like they're constantly doing some kind of road work on that. So
anyway, back to his question. Okay, so they have frame of reference. They love Epcot, have frame of reference, a Flower and Garden. And they're going for their first Food and Wine. I will say, and again, I've been to both. Food and Wine can get really, really busy, especially on the weekends, and even more so weekends at night, and even to some degree during the week at night. So if you want to have your optimal, here's what I say, optimal Food and Wine experience, 11 o'clock a.m., right as World Showcase opens, during the week. That's what that's the best advice I can give. Pam, you've been there many more times than I. So what do you say?
I completely agree. What you can expect is a lot of fun food that you want to eat and a lot of cool drinks that you want to drink. But Mike's absolutely right. On the weekend and especially weekend evenings, it's going to be more busy. In fact, sometimes even during the week, the evenings get busy. So what Mike suggested is right on. At 11 o'clock, right when the food booths open, go ahead and be there then and have a plan of attack. As soon as the menus are released, they'll be over on the Mouse for Less. Ricky and team get those up really quickly. We have lots of pictures from last year's Food and Wine Festival, and a lot of the items stay the same. So make sure you go over and check those out. But it's just, you know what you want to do. If there are seminars that you want to register for, make sure you're listening, have your ear to the ground so you know when those kind of things open up. Make sure you have a plan of attack. Make sure you get to see and eat all the things you want to eat.
All right, let's get to the last question of the day. This one's just a little bit shorter because we're sneaking this one a little bit late. We had a very busy week, but Jennifer's got a great question I think will benefit all of us. She says, hi, BOGP crew. So, Pam, you got to pull out your crystal ball for this one. So I know that you're in your office and you keep the crystal ball over on your, like, you know, back behind your desk there as you right. do all the magic stuff at the Magic for Less. You know, when you got a that's company right. named the Magic for Less, you got to have a crystal ball, right? I mean, you got to have stuff like that.
Absolutely. Okay, that's just... right next to my Magic 8-Ball. I use them both in conjunction with each other.
Is that like when people are like... Is free dining? I shouldn't have even said those words. Now we're going to be tagged. But is free dining coming out tomorrow? And so you just grab the magic eight ball. Signs point to yes. Go to bed now. Is that how it works?
Say not looking good.
Not looking good. Not that I like that. I'm better so I can sleep. Anyway, Jennifer says, hi, BOGP crew. God, just, I'm getting twitches just because I said the two words. assuming Toy Story opens before our trip in September, how busy do you think Hollywood Studios will be? What do you think the least crowded park will be now on the weekends? Epcot will have Food and Wine. Hollywood Studios, I almost said High School Musical. I don't even know why I said that. Hollywood Studios.
Yes, we are.
Paige was listening to that at college yesterday when we called. Like she was watching High School Musical. I heard it in the background. Anyway, Hollywood Studios will have Toy Story. Pandora will probably still have Animal Kingdom busy. So I guess it means Pandora will keep Animal Kingdom busy. Uh-huh. And Magic Kingdom will always be busy on the weekends. Maybe we'll head to that other park on the weekend. Thanks, Jennifer. She's in Virginia. All right, so here's the question we have. She's asking, once Toy Story opens, supposed to be this summer at some point, she's going in September, which park's going to be the least crowded on the weekends? So Epcot's going to have Food and Wine. Hollywood Studios will have Toy Story going on. Pandora's going to keep Animal Kingdom busy. Magic Kingdom's kind of always busy. What would you say of those four least busy on the weekends this September? What do you think?
I think that's really, really tasking my crystal ball. It may explode. But here's what's going to be my advice. And this is actually for 2018. I was trying to figure out what kind of advice to best give guests because everyone wants to know when's the least busy time to go and when's the lowest crowds and things like that. I think you need to concern yourself less with that and more with coming up with a strategy that's going to work regardless of the crowds. I think that's the best strategy to think of. So, for instance, we've talked about it many times here on the podcast, but we suggest getting there at rope drop. That's critical. If you're really interested in beating the crowds more than any other time of the year that you could go or not go, being there when the parks open will just benefit you so, so much. So be there, before rope drop. If you're staying on site, take advantage of those extra magic hours. That's another great thing to do. Another thing you're going to want to do is come up with a FastPass Plus strategy that works for your family. And we suggest not making those fast passes first thing in the morning unless you're going to Magic Kingdom and you're going to stay all day there because then you can take advantage of the rolling fast pass. Otherwise, I don't find the rolling fast pass that beneficial in other parks. Most of those attractions are going to be, the FastPass Plus slots are going to be taken up for those attractions that you'll want to see. So what you want to do is get into the park early, ride some of the attractions that you couldn't get FastPass Plus for that will get busier during the day. Take advantage of your FastPass Plus. Maybe do some attractions that you that won't need a FastPass in each park. You do have attractions that you'll be able to use those FastPass or that you won't need a FastPass Plus for. FastPass Plus, man, it makes our job a little harder. I'm just going to say, saying the words. What the heck?
That's what I do for my vocal warm-ups right before I call you guys. I go, FastPass Plus, FastPass Plus, FastPass Plus. And then I get myself in trouble after about the fourth or fifth one. I'm saying bad words, I think.
But so what I'm really trying to say to you is don't don't do a lot of fretting about this park's going to be this incrementally better than this park on this day. Just come up with some solid strategies that are going to work regardless.
100% agree. Don't go to the other place. Stay on property. Come on. Just have a plan. You're going to be fine. No. So what I would say is, okay, here's the thing. When Star Wars opens, now we're not talking this year. We're talking 2019. We're talking next year. Hollywood Studios is going to be a nut house. Like, I mean, a nut house of nut house order. It's going to be crazy. But I'm still going to want to go there. So I'm still going to have a plan, and I'm still going to get there early, and I'm still going to get there super early. Because even, like, you guys know, I went down at Christmas this year on New Year's Eve. All of us did. And we were fine. We got to do the stuff we wanted to do because we were there early. We had fast passes at the right times, and it was not a problem, to be honest. I mean, yeah, it was busy. Oops, got to turn off the alarm there, so don't forget to get the kid. I think just, an ounce of planning goes a mile at Walt Disney World. So I would say just don't sweat it, And the thing is, Toy Story is probably going to be open when you're down there in September. I mean, barring some kind of big tragedy. And I think you're going to want to see it, so don't avoid it. That's why you go. It's a new experience. Just beat the crowds and enjoy it. I mean, you might have to wait, a certain amount of time, but you know what? You're going to have a fun experience in return. That's the way I see it. 90% of the people are going to chicken out on the crowds. You know what? If you invest a little time and just do a little bit of planning before you leave, you're going to have a great time. Because, Pam, I know a lot of folks are trying to avoid crowds at all costs, but I think sometimes people avoid crowds and then they avoid really cool opportunities to have great experiences. And I don't want people to do that at all.
100%. I absolutely agree. Sometimes part of the fun is kind of doing a little paradigm switch in there. And I have to remind myself and my family of this, especially when we're going at times that are busier. But sometimes part of the fun is being there with a big crowd of folks and enjoying it. And getting, seeing their reactions to things, especially if there are people that haven't gone as often as we have. Just being there, even with people I don't know, you're kind of mixing it up. You're all getting to enjoy this really cool new thing that not that many people get to enjoy. And I think that's what I still appreciate about being at Disney World. I mean, even when I go into Pandora now, things are a little bit busier than, they are at other parts of the park. But that's kind of the cool thing about it. I had a guest come up to me the last time that we were down there in January, and they said they showed me like some cool things about Pandora that I didn't know. And it's just that kind of cool experience that I look forward to interacting with the other guests, which is a cool thing too.
Yep. Some of my favorite memories still are like ice skating at Hollywood Studios. Because remember when they put in the ice skating rink over by Toy Story at for Frozen? The fervor with that, seeing the sing-along for the first time, stuff like that. It was busy and it was nuts, but it was fun. And I look back on our pictures and I'm glad we did it. So anyhow, great questions today. Thanks for sending those in. We sure appreciate that. Keep sending those to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Today's show, again, brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps, iPad apps, iOS apps, like Theme Park News Disney Edition. So every morning when you get up and you want to keep track of what's going on with the Disney company, great free iOS app, Theme Park News Disney Edition. Put it on all your Apple devices. Turn those Apple devices into Disney devices today. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. And don't forget, as you do that, shopping for Valentine's Day. Tick, tick, tick. It's getting closer and closer. Please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. We thank you so much for that. All right. Check us out on the social media. We love talking with you, interacting with you, all of us. So Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestMike, and drop by the awesome Facebook group. Over 6,600 great Disney fans over there right now. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. Time to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday, talking about some more fun Disney topics. We hope you'll be there for that. So until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.